Welcome back to Startup to Success on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.
Support with the logistics, right? If it's a new loss, then their day-to-day is, you know, going to be pretty gnarly, in which they don't know what time it is, what day of, you know, the week it is, so on and so forth. So if you can help with things like laundry and cooking and cleaning or childcare, whatever it may be, that's going to go a long way initially, right? Because it feels like everything is spinning around them. Like, what in the world is going on? And then the don'ts. So, like, don't say everything happens for a reason, right? Oh, my God. Or they're in a better place, or they're, you know, they're going to be watching over you, or this one really crawls under my skin. And it says, well, at least you had an X amount of time with them. At least. Or listen to this one. Oh, you're still not feeling better?
Oh, God. Oh.
Still. Right? So, like, again, we're alluding to the fact that after 6 months, after a year, it should be pish posh done, right? Like, it should not matter anymore. And so, or with kids, when we tell them don't cry or don't be angry, you know, or, oh my gosh, in the Iranian community, unfortunately, I've heard things like, you're the man or the woman of the house now, right? Giving them all this additional responsibility, or they went to heaven and they're now with God. Holy guacamole. What is, yeah. I don't even want to get into that one, right? So, like,
these are the real things that people say. I remember literally hearing everything you mentioned from friends and family. And I was just like, that's not helping. That's actually making me feel worse.
Yeah. There's a specific one in Farsi that really, really gets under my skin. And I hear it to this day. And, you know, I just attended a memorial a few weeks ago, and the literal translation was, I hope this is your last loss. I hope this is the last loss you will ever encounter. And I'm going, like, I try to take my therapist hat off, right? Because I'm a person, and, you know, I'm not in session. And gosh, Maria Jen, I just got to tell you, like, it just, I don't know whether to laugh or to cringe, or like, how do I just get through the moment so nothing inappropriate comes out of my mouth of what in the world did you just say?
If you dissect that, it almost sounds like you're going to die before anyone else.
Right.
I mean, if you
exactly. Really right. Like that. The next person is you.
It's because, you. I hope you never see anyone else, which means you're going to go first.
And how realistic is that? Right. Like, life just doesn't work that way. Like, I wish it did, because, you know, but it doesn't. Like, there's just a lot of loss in our lives, you know? So, yeah, I'm like, Kiana, just breathe. Breathe. Use your coping skills and just breathe.
So I want to dive in a little bit about you, okay?
Because I
was listening to everything and remembering the moments and the painful days that I had, those days where I did not want to get out of bed, and
if it wasn't
for my kids, I probably would have stayed in bed forever. But just walk us through your day to day. How do you as Kiana Navy deal with all of this, dealing with patients who are grieving? Like, you must be the strongest person in this world. Like, as I was listening to you, I'm just like, how? Because every time I talk about grief or someone tells me about their loss, I feel like I'm breaking down again. I'm just like falling into pieces, and then I have to kind of pick up the pieces again and just
gather
myself. And you've experienced grief at 15. That is probably the hardest age to lose a parent. Way too young. So just how do you stay so strong and do what you do? I mean, I know it's your why, and I'm sure that's the biggest driver in your day to day, but walk us, please.
Yeah. So I want to go a little bit back to me at 15, because I want to share with you, and again, everyone listening, how different grief can look like, right? At 15, when I lost my mother, the grief for me set me into almost in a immediate adult mode. Okay. So what that looked like is, of course, my family, my supports, were not aware that this was grief. I was not even aware that this was grief. And it just, you know, have you seen the Duracell bunny?
Yes.
The battery
going
that is going and going and going. That was me. That was my nervous system, by the way. Because of the immense amount of, you know, the intensity of the loss. Because hello, I had just lost my mother. So I had lost, you know, my backbone and the biggest support in my life and, you know, so on and so forth. So that became me. And I rushed all throughout my late teenage years. I excelled in college. I did my undergrad really, really quickly. I jumped immediately into my master's program at UCLA. And so I was, I'll share this with you that when the first quarter of my master's program, I was not even 21 yet and could not even celebrate with everyone, you know. So when I,
you were in grad school at 21?
At 21, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you really did take grief to a whole different level.
I did. And this is why I want to say this is how different grief can look like, right? And so I, oh man, like when I say Duracell bunny, I really was not kidding, right? So I did it and I couldn't even like legally celebrate with anyone else. And I didn't. And so, and then we had one training because it was a master's in social work. And we had one training in which our house, which is a incredible nonprofit organization in Los Angeles, by the way, our house came to our program and did a training on grief and loss for kiddos and how to address grief and loss for kiddos. And Maria, it was like the time bomb had just went off. I began to sob uncontrollably. And I texted a few of my professors and said, hey, I'm going home. And so that, I won't go into the details of it all, but that was really what resulted in me beginning to do my own grief journey, my own processing, my own coming to terms, my own learning to dance with this new rhythm, and then actually slowing the F down, right?
Yeah.
I ended up, you know, finishing my master's program, and I was still the youngest. Well, hello. And so, you know, I went on and did all these other things, and here I am with you today. But the reason why I shared that story with you is because you really have to look at the circumstances of the individual's life to see, okay, is this actually grief? It is. But because, just because it's not quote unquote seen in a negative light does not mean that the person is not grieving, right? That's just the way that the individual has decided to express or move through, you know, their grief. So,
you know, hearing your story about how you actually accelerated, kept yourself busy. That's now why you would emphasize on helping people with grief and loss, because you took something that could have impacted you negatively and you let it impact you positively. So yeah. If anyone can help inspire others to go through grief in a better way, it has to be you.
Oh,
I
mean, gosh.
At this point, I just feel, I'm like, wow, that totally makes sense, because
That's a lot of pressure. I'm not that.
I mean, listen, no pressure, but that is the reality, because most people, most kids your age would have just, you know, had used that as an excuse to fail at everything and not move forward and just say, I lost my mom and that's my excuse. I'm a victim. I'm this and that. But you took it and you just, I mean, wow, that's incredible. But I never would have thought that that is also a way of grieving.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why I really shared that story with you, not to say, oh my gosh, I'm so incredible, because no, I'm not.
You are.
No, I still have my human moments, and I'll get to your question in a minute, of what I do to keep myself afloat. But that is how different grief can look like, right? And so for me, it was all distraction, 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 avoid, 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 keep going, keep going, keep going, shine in all these other aspects, so that the grief is, kept shut in a closet and is not coming out, until it did, until it did. And so, to be honest, I'll even share with you now that I'm now in a doctoral program. And
Congratulations.
thank you. So the grind is still going, but the grind, is not in the same way,
Yeah.
right? And so to learning to slow down and to sit with and to process and to be present. And you asked me, well, how do I go about my day with supporting, or just sitting with other individuals in session that are experiencing various losses, is to be really honest and transparent with myself of, what feelings are coming up for me. How am I choosing to release these emotions from my body, right? Because once we fester them, then it can become problematic. So a lot of self-care, a lot of writing, a lot of exercise, and being in really good company with people that you can, share your heart's desires and not feel judged, right? The ability to create an environment where you get to say whatever it is that you want, to be able to express yourself and your needs. And that is how I get through my day, of just, I'm very protective and mindful of who I let into my circle. Because I have to, keep my peace, right? So
Yeah, I mean that's what I was thinking all along. I'm like, how do you not let other people's sadness make you sad throughout the day, right? Like, it
yeah.
just, it's one thing therapists deal with so many different things and personalities and issues, but then you're constantly dealing with sadness and grief and sadness and grief. And I'm just like, whoa, that takes a special person. So.
Like my job, like I said, like sitting in sessions is an honor and a privilege. But when I'm not in sessions, I'm really, really mindful of the activities I'm doing and the people that I'm around, right? Like, because that all needs to be very uplifting and positive and energetic and motivating, right? Because if it's the other way around, this work is not very sustainable. So,
Wow, incredible, incredible. I have one
oh.
question and then we're going to talk a little bit about your soul psychotherapy.
Yeah.
People can learn a little bit more and learn how they can reach you and work with you if they need it. Explain a little bit about therapy intensives. What are those?
Yeah, so therapy intensives are relatively new to the therapeutic market, and they're really for individuals who come to me either for grief or for past traumatic experiences. Individuals and couples, by the way, I should say that I do see couples as well in my work, who come to me and say, Kiana, I want to feel better yesterday. So, typical therapy sessions are about 55 minutes, right? Some therapists even choose to go between 45 to 50 minutes. I give my clients, 55 minutes at the most. That's how a particular therapy session is, and it's typically once a week. And so what these therapy intensives are instead is that you get to spend anywhere between 6 to 13 hours with me
Wow.
at a time. I know. I just saw the look on your face, and I'm like, I know, I love it too. So of course we take breaks in between. Of course we're gonna, stay hydrated and make sure we eat and, use the restroom and so on and so forth. But we're going to dedicate anywhere between 6 to 13 hours to get through all of majority of the losses or the traumatic experiences in one setting. And so typically that starts on a Friday and ends on a Saturday. Or, you know, for folks that, you know, have flexibility during the weekday, then we go Monday to Wednesday, you know, or so on and so forth, where we just, and then so this way, you're spending less time in therapy, actually, for folks that are so against it, like, oh, I don't want to go to therapy because, you know, like, there's just all these like stigmas that if they decide to feed themselves with, right, you're actually going to be quote unquote done or feeling better a lot sooner because you get to spend, you know, anywhere from 6 to 13 hours with me at a time. And we just go, 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 go. Now, you know, is this the right fit for everyone? No. There's a lot of disclaimers that, you know, that are listed on my website that I won't go into detail. But I mean, a lot of people love a man because, again, like if you don't want to do weekly therapy sessions because you don't have a sitter or, you know, because it's just not cutting it for you. Like these are the way to go. And so it's like, it's kind of like the wax, right? Just like peeling it off immediately and getting it done with. And so where it just doesn't feel as intense and heavy anymore. You're not carrying around your backpack. It's like a, you know, fast pass to Disneyland or something.
I love that. I love that. And I, you know, speaking of therapy, there have been a few times when I thought about seeking therapy for certain things, you know, as an immigrant, when I came to the States, when the Soviet Union collapsed. And so I experienced, my parents experienced money loss. And so that ended up kind of traumatizing me.
Yeah.
Well,
oh my gosh, yeah.
My relationship with money for a long time has been weird because of that experience, even though it's not my story, but it affected me. And so it was until recently that it was about 10 years ago, I realized that I have major issues because of that experience.
Of that experience?
And then I started reading more and helping myself. And then I realized that, no, perhaps I need a therapist. But then every time I think of the hourly, weekly, I'm like, nope, cannot have that. Don't have that in my life. Don't have the time. I just can't.
Yep, exactly.
And I try to overcome it myself. But at the end of the day, you need help. You can't just do it all by yourself. And we see the things we see. Like, I'm already wired to constantly take the same path. I don't want to keep sitting and going through the same path and trying to change the path. It's almost like I need someone to go in and really rapidly create new rewiring systems in my brain and just say, off you go.
Yeah, exactly.
How you got money. Go off and let go of your trauma that wasn't even yours in my case.
Oh, man, trauma will do that.
Yeah.
You know, and so, and, you know, if we're not careful, we can pass it down to the next generation as well.
Yep, exactly.
And so, yeah. And like you said, that weekly commitment. And then, you know, with instances like that, when we have folks that come in either as an individual or as a couple, you know, do anywhere between 6 to 13 hours with me, that's a good chunk of therapy, right? So then we might need maintenance every once in a while where we go like a quick check-in of, hey, how's it going? How are the, you know, skills working? You know, how are your symptoms? Tell me about the intensity, so on and so forth, right? Versus going week after week after week. But again, like it takes a special kind of person because that drive has to be there, right? Like that just wanting to, again, like rip off the Band-Aid and putting your hair up and, you know, just getting in and getting dirty. So
I think most people now are becoming more and more impatient with things. I think technology has trained us to be, you know, to get gratification fast, to get, you know, I mean, looking at even the way we watch TV now, it's very different from the world. Yeah. You know, we used to wait for Monday night for a show to come at 8 o'clock, and
yes,
you know, can you wait now? No, you're like, no, I'm gonna watch all the episodes in one sitting. And so
yes,
I feel like
the reason why I brought that up is when I was on your side, I kind of came across it and I was like, wait, I really want to bring this up because this is something that I could potentially now think about because the regular therapy is just, I don't have that time in my schedule. Probably won't have it until a couple of years later. But for me to deal with stupid things that I know are there and I just can't seem to get rid of. It's just there's no reason for it not to be dealt with and move on, you know? And so I'm so happy you offer that. I'm actually gonna sign up right after this interview. And speaking of
I
signing,
wish I could take you. Why did I even do this interview? Oh,
wait, don't we, the interview is very generic, okay? So
I
we did not share anything personal here, but
know.
can you share with the audience you know, where and how they can get a hold of you if they want to talk to you, learn more about you, and work with you, how can they get a
So, website is soulpsychotherapy.com. That's SOULH psychotherapy, PSY, CHOTHERAPY.com, soul psychotherapy. My Instagram handle is also soul_psychotherapy. Those are the best two ways to contact me. If you're a texter, instead of wanting to go on my website and, find the consult link, 805-222-6371. So again, that's 805-222-6371.
Awesome.
And I still have the Duracell bunny tendencies in me. So if I respond pretty quickly, you'll know why.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Sure, our listeners will enjoy that too. And we'll have your information in our show notes as well for all the listeners who aren't able to jot it down. I just know that it'll be in our show notes. So thank you. Thank you, Kiana. It's been such a pleasure. Thank you for joining Startup to Success with Maria on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3 SoCalArmenian.com.